Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Today we're going to talk about boredom.
Oh gosh.
That's boring. I don't want to talk about boredom.
I love boredom.
Bored tells us that we have an expectation to be entertained, or we're unable to be entertained when we're wanting to be.
I'd like to just put a little disclaimer in the beginning though. Boredom is not bad. Okay. We're not going to talk about it as being a bad thing. There was an episode Brené Brown did on her podcast, Unlocking Us. Go listen to it. I forget who it is, but her friend and her are talking about, you know, boredom and the healing powers of boredom and how she was like, I don't like putting myself in boredom. And the friend's like, girl, you got to do it. Like, you got to put yourself in boredom because you're not going to like fully get, we talked about tired last episode. You're not going to get fully rested until you've been through it.
I really love boredom because boredom is a sign to us that our stress cycle will, like Haley just said, that you might be able to rest from your stress cycle. So people who are at a really high stress cycle might feel boredom whenever there's not a proverbial saber-tooth tiger in front of their face. That's good. Just in case you're wondering if you always need to live with the saber-tooth tiger, you don't. It is also a sign that you're not being mentally entertained, which means you can actually have your own original thought. It is also a sign that your skill and your desire are moving, meaning I'm not being challenged in this moment. So if you're bored at work and those kinds of things, when you're active, that might mean you need to find something more challenging. Or if you're bored, you might be in that place where you need to give yourself permission to try something new and challenge yourself to grow.
I find it interesting that in parenting, in the last few decades, we've tried as a society to weaponize boredom with our children. We try to use it as a punishment rather than using timeout or something similar to give children a space to be able to calm down, to use coping skills. We're trying to make them bored so that they feel punished. And with some kids, that doesn't work because they're really bored resilient. I was one of those kids. If you've never seen my picture, you've never met me, I'm glow in the day white. I'm pretty small. I have freckles. I have glasses. So, naturally very into Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, things like that. So, oh, you want me to sit in this chair and read a book? Oh, no, please, not that.
Well, you bring up a really good point, Taylor, because creativity thrives in boredom, right? You don't look at it and it's like, I'm extremely busy and I don't have, you know, I don't have enough time in my day, but I'm going to go be creative, right? No, creativity thrives when we have like that blank canvas of boredom available to us. That's when, especially you're mentioning with children, I hate when parents weaponize boredom, because think about when we grew up, which really wasn't a whole long time ago, but was very different in the sense of summer vacation. You don't always have planned things, right? You made up things. I grew up on the East Coast when I was younger, and we had these woods in the back of our house.
That, real woods.
Yeah, real woods, not like the woods out here. This is like real grimy, you know.
You go 10 feet, get lost.
They were it was the University of Rhode Island had a set. I don't think it was like a nature preserve by any means, but it was, they had kept it woods. And so they were right next door, and we would go over our little stone wall, because there's stone walls everywhere in the East Coast. We'd go over it and we'd go play in the woods all day. And like, we made up places that we could go visit. We found this fallen tree. We made a fort on things like that. Like, it was because we were bored. Right. And it's not in a way of being like, my parents were awful. They didn't entertain us all the time. They also were the parents who had a very strict, like, hey, we're going to go do this activity. And you read a book at the library, so we have a free ticket to the butterfly farm, so we have to go do that. Right. But there were also these summer days where we just went and did that. Right. Or we made a teepee in the backyard and we crushed crappy pieces of greenery into, you know, our made up potions or whatever we're doing. Right. So boredom is a great place for creativity to thrive and grow.
think it's really important as we talk about boredom that we talk about ways that we buffer boredom. Mm-hmm. So as we think about this, and we talked about weaponizing boredom, but we can also help encourage boredom as parents, right? So I've heard maybe a kid say before that my phone is my coping skill, or this show is my coping skill.
We're laughing because I feel like if I had a dime for every day I heard that, I would have been retired.
We'd
by
be
now.
Recording this on a yacht.
I know.
Or my whatever is my coping skill versus this idea of, and this goes back to tired, that we need to take away all that buffering you're having for your emotions is actually let you sit in it. So you can learn to complete an emotional cycle and or a stress response. And so here's the thing. If you're unwilling to be bored and you think your kids being bored is bad, what you are saying is you're not allowed to complete a stress response. Please don't ever feel anything. And for goodness sakes, if you start to have an emotion, just pick up an electronic device.
I mean, we as adults do that all the time, not just kids.
One thing, a couple episodes ago, we talked about lonely. Often people misread boredom. They think rather that they're feeling boredom when really they're feeling lonely. And so they buffer that feeling of loneliness by trying to treat it as boredom by scrolling through their phone, playing video games, watching TV, you name it, rather than trying to connect with someone else, which is what resolves loneliness.
Which is interesting, because that's a good idea of what's different between lonely and boredom. So as a therapist, I spend a lot of time talking to people during the day. So on work days, I find that when I get home from work, I am not really interested in talking. Mm-hmm. But I do need to process the stress of the day. And so one of the things I'll do is, if I'm buffering that versus processing it, is I will use my electronics. So if I go into a creative arena, mm-hmm. and I craft or sew or whatever I feel like doing.
Diamond art.
Which is a really great creative outlet to process the emotions as opposed to numbing them.
But it is part of boredom. It looks, my mental energy when I'm doing those things generally is really low. I really like projects where I can do repetition. Mm-hmm. And that would look like boredom. Now, there's times where I like to be creative and it takes a little more energy, but I really like repetition that's easy for my body and my mind to process so that I can move through that stress.
I want to go back to what we talked about last week too, with tired and flooding. So what you're describing is I'm flooded from the day, right? I'm overwhelmed. I'm having all the adrenaline, things like that. So we talked briefly about how to reduce flooding. It's the same as with an engine. If it's flooded, whether it be a car engine or a lawnmower, you need to wait, right? You got to let it go. So boredom, honestly, is the best way to do it. It's about letting your body decrease the stimulus. You're not thinking about the things from the day that are making you stressed out. Gottman studied this and they found that in order to reduce flooding, you need to do something that is literally going to be boring for you. Right? Taking a walk, maybe reading, maybe creative outlet. Scientifically though, real quick, men take 30 minutes to decrease flooding through that when they're paying attention to it. Women take 20. And that's just,
isn't it 45 and 30 respectively?
Mm-mm. 20 and 30.
Research.
Yeah. So it's 20 and 30. And so the thing with it though, is that the important part is when we're talking again, kind of referencing what we did last time, the front part of your brain of logically going through things, it won't come online until you've decreased that. So you literally can't push yourself to try to be past that emotional flood in a quicker way. Scientifically, you have at least 30 minutes to work through it. So I try to tell my clients, like when you come home from work, they're like, well, I need 5 minutes and I'm good. And I'm like, no. You do say you might have 5 minutes, but your body, it can't go faster than 30. It just can't. Right. And that's with practice and actually applying the boredom to it. You might actually take longer. It may take 45, 50.
So there are times when we don't have that 30 minutes right then.
Yeah.
So what will happen is it will go into your rest cycle later in the evening. So your need to wind down later. So it doesn't have to be right after work or right after an experience, but you do have to put breaks in your life, mm-hmm. for boredom and rest. And again, if you find that you're bored and the energy goes up versus it starts to mellow you out, that is when you need to challenge yourself in a new way, learn something new, try a new task, those kinds of things. Because boredom can also mean I'm not being challenged. When we talk about the idea of flow in our lives, is that flow is when our skills and our abilities are in sync.
Yeah.
So when we're overwhelmed and our skills are too low, then we need to rest. When we are overskilled and we don't have enough challenge, we need to start to challenge.
I noticed that boredom is really prevalent among parents when they're spending time with their children. And I am not saying the candy
line. Taylor, are you sure?
I am guilty of this. Candyland bores me to tears around the third round of playing it in a row.
Not the first, not the second, the third.
Now, my children are usually pretty cute, pretty funny. And Candy, I'm like, are you sure you don't want to try? Sorry. No, Dad, Candyland.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you can connect with your children. So there is connection, just not challenge.
So I'm like, you want to play the Switch?
Yeah.
reaching for my phone. And, you know, lots of people enjoy staring at fires. We think it's because the fire is always changing. That's what makes TV and our phones so engrossing, is that it's constant stimulation. And children can be overwhelming because they're very loud, they're constantly demanding, whereas our phones are numbing. Mm-hmm. And so parents are often reaching for their phones just to numb from the constant demands and stimulation of our children.
And just the tired that we talked about in our last episode, that you're going to want to numb versus rest. But understand that boredom, you won't feel bored then. You'll be like, no, I love playing the 7 hours of Sudoku on my phone. And that's because you're not actually resting.
Yeah, that six-piece puzzle I've got down.
Yeah, I can do that. So the three of us work very closely with addiction. All right. So one of the big things that we're mentioning with boredom is that with addiction, that is often a recipe for disaster, is what they think, right? They're like, but if I'm bored, I'm going to relapse, right? Or if I'm bored, even if it's not strongly an addiction type of mindset, I'm going to not do like productive things. And one of the things I tell my clients, and I'm like, I know this is scary to hear, but especially with my clients who have like an addictive behavior, you're going to need to learn how to be bored. Because if you don't, you're going to continue to have relapse moments.
As you're saying that, understand that boredom is a type of discomfort for people, right? Where numbing is you're not allowed to feel anything, so you don't even feel discomfort. But boredom might feel a little bit uncomfortable for you. It's okay to learn to sit in discomfort.
Yeah.
It's okay to be unentertained and to let your brain,
or unproductive, right?
Right. Go back to the people who wear their badge of busyness, right? Yeah. You people need to sit down without anything going on. Go on a vacation. So, but we go back to this of one of the things that happens with addiction is that our brain is taught to stay in that fight, flight, freeze, fawn state and stay with those neurochemicals. And so we're using the buffering of substances, behaviors, whatever, to stay in that unprocessed trauma.
Yeah.
And avoid the pain. Because if we don't buffer it, we might start feeling the pain of what we experienced that got us into the addiction in the first place.
One of the strongest reactions I've ever had in group was when a group member, just checking in about how their week went, shared, we've been together, I think, 6-8 months. It'd been a while that this group knew each other, that when he drives, he doesn't listen to music, audiobooks, podcasts, nothing. He drives in silence. And the entire group was quite reactive. They're like, whoa, what? So we started talking about boredom, being left alone with our thoughts, because if you don't have that constant stimulation going, then that's when the sadness comes.
Yeah.
Wait, but didn't we say sadness has a purpose?
Yes, and you have to run from the purpose. That was the whole point of Inside Out, wasn't it?
But we need boredom in order to process all these emotions we've done podcasts with. You can never feel them if you don't allow yourself room to be bored.
Absolutely. So that's what we talked about in group. It was just so funny how they all reacted so strongly.
Yeah, I often give my clients the assignment to go be bored, right? Because we often, let's switch, you know, real quick at the end here, let's look at it from the other perspective. I have clients who every moment of every day, they have planned out with a constructive, healthy activity, okay? I also have friends, or honestly, there's a lot of like Instagram famous people that they're talking about how many podcasts they listen to, how many self-help books they have, how many things they're trying to do to revitalize their life, right? The problem though, is that if you have that many things going on at once, there's no boredom, right? And you're not going to actually take that info and learn how to apply it within yourself. You need a reboot time. There's a reason even with the computer, it takes on all of these changes and this new information. And then it's like, okay, I got to shut down for a little bit. I need to redo what I need to do and internalize all of this. And then I can be better than ever, right? Our boredom's the same as that reboot, really. It's that time that we can really let these things sink in, but then also allow us to know that we can still be well balanced and well managed while we're in that, you know, moment of openness that boredom is. It's really, boredom is just openness to a lot of options, and we get to decide what we're going to fill it with or not fill it with, right?
It's interesting because as we look at boredom, what I think happens, right, when we're in a room and we've got nothing actively buffering, our brain will naturally get curious. Mm-hmm. We start to count. Have you ever done that? Have you ever counted something?
How many ceiling tiles? Yeah.
And that is actually an act of mindfulness. So people are like, well, what the heck is mindfulness? Mindfulness is something that happens when you're not being stimulated. You have to be bored in mindfulness. Now, some people are going to be like, I'm never bored when I'm mindful. Okay. I'm said it wrong then, because you are bored when you're mindful, and it's a good thing. Your brain is not being actively stimulated, and you need that time to not be actively stimulated to process the stress load that you're carrying.
Yeah, I think, well, what you're saying with the foil for what someone says with that is that if they say, I'm not bored when I'm mindful, it's because you see boredom as a bad thing. And we're trying to explain that boredom is a really healthy place to be. It's an okay space to be. Now, if all you are is bored all the time, then yeah, let's assess how much of a percentage of time you're using boredom, because maybe we could be doing a little more constructive things.
But that's when you challenge yourself.
That's when you challenge, yeah. But you need boredom, and boredom's a good thing. So stop saying it as like, well, I'm never bored. Okay, you should be, because it's actually a great place to be.
And it's important that mm-hmm. that we allow our children to be bored. It will teach you a lot about where they're at and learning emotional processing. If you think, I have to keep this child busy or entertained in order to manage them, that is a good sign that we need to work more on emotional regulation skills and teaching them to sit with their own thoughts and experiences rather than having someone else carry those thoughts and experiences for them.
So I'd like each of you to go and be bored for at least 5 minutes and try it out. And go from there.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We would love to hear from you.